And Father, I would ask, Lord, this morning that Satan would be hindered in any way from affecting either the delivery or the reception of this word this morning. I pray, Father, that there would be an open heaven for us to hear from heaven through your word. We pray, Lord, that again, that Satan would not be able to interfere with us in any way, shape, or form, and that we might come to grow in our appreciation and anticipation of that day when Christ shall come. Hide us in the shadow of the cross this morning and implant us in the Scriptures, deep in the Scriptures. Not in speculation or in conspiracy, but in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to greet each one this morning in the name of Christ. It is a real privilege this morning to be together again. I had the privilege about 3 weeks ago to share a message in up at Calvary Chapel. They had called back when I was at Bible school in January and asked if I would come and share a prophecy update. And I've been a student of prophecy and kind of off and on for about 40 years. And always interested in what is happening and what people are saying about prophecy and looking at the Scriptures and seeing what things look like at the return of the Lord in the last time, in the last day. And so when I got that call, I hadn't really had not been on my radar really. And yet as I got that call and consented to that assignment, it got on my radar. And it had been a fascinating study, and I continue to study on the truths of Scripture. And to kind of hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other and look at the Bible and look at the newspaper and say, whoa, what's happening here? Where are we at? Where are we going? And as I do that, I've learned some things that I just feel like I would be remiss in not sharing with you from the Scriptures and from the world around us, and as they relate to the Scriptures, as it relates to the return of the Lord. Now, we sing very, very nicely, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And yet, as we sing that, is that really where you're at this morning? When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. I mean, it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen, and we've been saying that for many, many years, but I think that we know that we're closer than we've ever been before. That's kind of a no-brainer, but as I've looked at the subject, and again, through kind of some fresh eyes, I think we're so close, and Luke chapter 21, if you would want to turn there this morning, I'll be looking at a couple different scriptures. Luke chapter 21, Jesus was asked, teacher, verse 7, when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? Now, Jesus did not rebuke them for asking about this sign. Now, sometimes he would rebuke them for asking about signs when there was signs all around them. I mean, he was the sign. But in this case, Jesus did not rebuke them. And this is a parallel passage to Matthew 24, where Jesus laid out some things that they would anticipate in the immediate future and at the end. And some of these things have been fulfilled, have been kind of characteristic of things through the church age. And then some of them are to be fulfilled and at the end of the age. So they said, what are the sign? What are we looking for, Jesus? And verse 9, he says, take heed that you be not deceived. That's verse 8. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. So he goes through here in verses 9 through about 19 and gives some general signs that we would anticipate wars and commotions, wars and rumors of wars. Verse 9, he said, don't be terrified. But these things must come to pass first. Verse 10, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The word there, nation, is the Greek word ethnos, which means ethnic groups. Interesting, it's not just today fighting from across borders, international borders. It's fighting in our own countries. Blacks against whites, whites against Hispanics, Hispanics against their against others, and in different countries, different tribes fighting against other tribes, and this whole thing of racism and feeding the flames of racism. Jesus predicted this when he said, "Ethnos, ethnic group will rise against ethnos, ethnic group, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be earthquakes and famines and pestilences and persecution." In verse 12 through 19, he talks about persecution. And then verse 20, he says, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near." Well, you can say that happened in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus, the general Titus under the command of the Roman government. So we have some things happen there where Jerusalem fell. And then he goes on and talks in verse 24 about Jerusalem being trampled by the Gentiles until the end of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then he says in verse 25, it's like there's a shift. "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." That's a way of saying the nations, the people groups, the peoples of the world are in an uproar, in a turmoil. And men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, when we sing, "When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home," he says, "lift up your heads because your redemption draws near." And he talks about the fig tree budding and blossoming in verse 31. "So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." And so in verse 7, they ask the question. In verse 9, he says, when you hear these things, verse 30, when you see these things, and then respond. And so what we want to do is we want to hear, we want to see, and we want to respond appropriately. Now, someone has asked, many times we ask the question, when is Christ coming? I have the answer, and that is in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. In the fullness of time, when God says the time is right. When God had the fullness of time in relation to his first coming, when everything was just right economically, politically, religiously, governmentally, and the Pax Romana was the peace upon that brought the Roman Empire together so that the gospel could be spread quickly and with the least amount of in hindrance after the day of Pentecost. When that was all put together, God sent his Son. And I believe that when it's all put together again, God will send his Son. Now, again, we don't know days nor hours, but we can discern the times. Let's discern the times. Now, I want to mention this morning, as I share this message, is that I'm not wanting to be conspiratorial. I don't believe that this is the time when we look and dive into conspiracy theories. They are out there. There's a group out there, it's called, a movement out there called QAnon, which is about conspiracy theories. And folks, they are so far out of whack, it's not even funny. They're still looking. Now, the last one I heard was they're still looking for Trump to be reinstituted as president in August. And it was supposed to have happened in March. And it was supposed to have happened on January 6th. And it is a conspiracy network that when you read some of this stuff, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Or two grains. Or a shaker. And so I do not want to in any way buy into conspiracies. And so that's tough to do, tough not to do in this day and age which we're living, because the information out there is so hard to sift through. And I will be glad this morning to, in private, because it would just confuse everybody and everything to do it publicly, but if you want to see my documentation, I'd be happy to have you look at my documentation for the things that we share. And I'm not going to share a lot of specifics other than some things that we need to be looking for. So I'd be happy to share with you my research. I have nothing to hide. And one of the things that we can do instead of looking at conspiracies where we look at what we think the pagans are saying and look at what has been hatched behind closed doors. A conspiracy is something that's secret and it's been hatched behind closed doors by a few elite people and nobody knows about it except some people find out every once in a while and the message leaks out and then you have a conspiracy. No, one of the things I've done in my research is to look at what the pagans are saying about their own agenda. It can't be a conspiracy if they're telling you what their plan is and what they're going to do. And so this is public information. No longer do you have to use your imagination to know where things are headed. It used to be, and when I was a boy, we had a lot of things coming down the pike. You know, the Lord was coming in 1974, the Lord was coming in 1988. Lord was coming in 2000. Lord was coming, and you had to really use your imagination in order to get that out of the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, today you don't even have to use your imagination. You do not have to use imagination to look at the Bible and look at contemporary events and say, folks, we are here. The things we've been talking about for years and years and years and wondering how they would play out. Now, we still don't have all the details. God still has secrets that he has not shared with anyone. But we have the scriptures before us and we have contemporary events. And we don't have to go into weird and wild stuff. And I remember back in the day when Ronald Reagan was president. He was going to be the Antichrist. By the way, about every president we've had is going to be the Antichrist, and most of them are dead now and out of power. Reagan had six letters in his first name and six letters in his middle name and six letters in his last name, and he was for sure the Antichrist. JFK was for sure the Antichrist because he was a Catholic, and Bill Clinton was for sure the Antichrist because he was a great deceiver. And President, I mean, just don't look for the Antichrist. Look for Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do is get back to looking for Christ when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. Now, there was no need for imagination anymore to realize that this world is headed toward a one-world system, a one-world governmental system, a one-world economic system. All you have to do is listen to what the pagans are saying about their plans. And it becomes very informative, a one-world religious system. And it would be nice if we could just go to one passage of Scripture and say, well, this pretty much contains all that there is to know. But you have to study Scripture and lay in the layers and nuances of Scripture. And Daniel is a great place, tells us some. Matthew 20, 24 tells us some. Luke 21 tells us some. Revelation tells us some. Different passages. Ezekiel tells us some. And you put all these things together and begin to study those and see what the Lord has to say. So what I want to share with you this morning is some things to be looking for. Now, we used to say the stage is being set for end time events. I don't say that anymore. The stage is set. The stage is set. And that's why I say this morning, may God have his will and way in both the giving and receiving of this word this morning. Now, there are several assumptions that I will make this morning as we, by way of introduction, we're still in the introduction. Several assumed truths. Assumption number one is that Scripture calls for a one-world system at the end of the age. A one-world system. One-world government, one-world economy, one world religion. And where do we find this in Scripture? Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 1 says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea," and describes that beast. And the beast got his authority from the dragon. Who's the dragon? The dragon is that old serpent, the devil. Use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Later on in Revelation, it says who the dragon is. It's Satan. And Satan gives this beast his power, his throne, and great authority. Verse 3 at the end, "And all the world marveled and followed the beast." Verse 4, "So they worshipped the dragon who gave the authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast." And this happens for 42 months, 3.5 years. But what I want you to see is verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's talking about a worldwide display of power. Verse 13, another beast. Verse 11, and it goes on to describe him. He performs great signs. And verse 15, and causes as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And then he gives us the number 666, and there's all kinds of different ideas about what that is, why it's 666, what is the number of a man. We're not going to go into the speculations this morning, other than to say we see in Scripture very clearly that there is a one-world system going to be put into place and is being put into place. We have the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, named in Revelation 16, verse 13, which is the unholy trinity. Satan will try to duplicate whatever God has done and what God is. So God is a holy trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Satan is an unholy trinity and presents himself as a dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The second assumption that I make this morning from my study of Scripture is that Israel is a major player in the last days. Israel is a major player. In fact, we have a tribulation period that Scripture talks about. 3.5 years. Notice he says 42 months. Something will happen here. That's 3.5 years. That's one part of the tribulation. It's divided into two parts. Tribulation and the Great Tribulation in the last 3.5 years, the time of chastening of the Jewish people and of their turn to Christ. Now, those are assumptions that I am making this morning. They're biblically based assumptions, but in order to understand these signs, we'll have to accept those assumptions and presuppositions. So what I want to share with you is three areas. Number one, what is called the global reset. Number two, some technology, and that's a whole broad, wide field, but we'll specifically share on a particular aspect of technology. And then number three, the Middle East. The Middle East. So what is the global reset? Interesting what is being said by the pagans and being observed by the church and is being embraced by our government. How many of you have heard of the global reset? Most of you have not. The global reset is the term that has been promoted by the World Economic Forum, WEF. The global reset, and this comes from the Gospel Coalition, Australia edition by Chris Watkin in March of 2020. The Great Reset, or it's called the Great Reset, is an attempt to seize the moment of the COVID-19 crisis to build a better society, where better means three things: greener, more digital, and fairer. Do you hear that in the news? Green, digital, technology, and equality and equity. It is driven by a feeling that the financial crisis of the late 2000s was a missed opportunity. Trillions of dollars were handed out in stimulus packages, but nothing really changed, and no measures were taken to stop it all happening again. The Great Reset is the brainchild of Professor Klaus Schwab. You can go on his website, WEF, World Economic Forum, that gathers many of the world's political and corporate leaders for a summit each January in the Swiss ski resort of Davos. The gathering typically attracts corporate luminaries such as Bill Gates, the heads of Coca-Cola, Goldman Sachs, and IBM, who can be seen rubbing shoulders with presidents and prime ministers such as Bono and the Prince of Wales. This is what Schwab writes on the WEF website. The world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts, get that, social contracts, and working conditions, every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism, and the WEF calls for nothing less than a new social contract centered on human dignity and, get these words, social justice. All of this stuff is being woven into our news cycle every day, every day. Green, social justice, equity, equality, socialism. It's all being promoted. One commentator, Frank Hill, talks about the Great Reset. In short, the wealthy elites of the world proclaim to the rest of the world, we need a great reset of capitalism. Not a restart. Not a restart. If you think that the global community wants to go back and restart what we had, think again. They want to reset what we don't have. They want to reset the table. To save the world, these elites demand the world must act to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country must participate, in every industry from oil to gas to tech must be transformed. In other words, these elites demand that the entire world embrace socialism, impose much higher wealth taxes, which they will avoid paying. That's a given. Promulgate onerous regulations on banking and industry and pass massive Green New Deals, which would only cost lots of money. And he gives some figures there. Anyway, he goes on to say, America should understand, or should understandably feel a little queasy when they hear Prince Charles and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau gush about how the COVID pandemic provides the perfect opportunity to change everything. That's the goal. Change everything. While evangelicals hear about the Great Reset, elites governing everything, their hearts will skip a beat. Amen? Yeah. Worldwide universal contact tracing of individuals, massive centralized computer record keeping for infection and vaccination, and quarantining may sound like and actually be solid public health policy to bureaucrats and elites. However, if it starts to move into the realm of ideas, such as implanting computer chips into every individual's evangelicals the world over will be triggered, unlike any triggered community we have seen to date. There is too much symbolism and apocalyptic end times imagery that would accompany such a policy from the book of Revelation in the New Testament. Theologian Karl Barth used to urge his fellow Christian colleagues and students to read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. We agree. Just don't read the book of Revelation while reading about the Great Reset. It might be too scary. Well, it's real. It's real, folks. It is real. The pagans are telling us what they plan to do. It's not a conspiracy when they tell you what is being planned. But it is a plan. We must understand that what we've had in the period in the last 20 years is a period of deconstruction. Deconstruction. Have we wondered why it is that all of the institutions of our societies have been attacked and attacked and attacked? All the way from marriage to language to institutions. History is being changed, morality has been attacked, truth has been undermined and attacked and redefined, marriage and all the social institutions, why they're even attacking football and basketball, you know? And why is that? Because in order for you to reconstruct something, you must deconstruct it. Now we are in the period, we are entering into the period of reconstruction. We've destroyed as a society and as a world. It's not just the United States, but we have destroyed so many of the institutions of the world. We're destroying the police force. We're destroying law and order. We're destroying the Constitution. We're destroying all of the social things that have made a society a society. It's not just about America either. Now we can begin with a crisis of international proportion to rebuild what we want to rebuild or what they want to rebuild. We must understand that. COVID-19 is called the opportunity they have been waiting for. It's the perfect opportunity to build around economic and social justice, climate change, socialism, and social control. This is not unheard of. This is all around us. So that is the global reset. Lots of things that can be said about that. Not going to say anything more. And we're going to move to technology. Technology. And when you talk about technology as being a sign, we could look at a lot of things. You can look at the cashless society, which is where we're heading. We can look at the information age. You can look at artificial intelligence, which is where we're heading. Even some of the elites are now, Schwab himself is talking about the blending of artificial intelligence with human intelligence. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. It gets really weird where you will eventually, within the realm of probability, have bionic people, which you can upload and download through microchips. We've talked about that a number of years ago already. Microchips can be put in brains where you can turn off certain things and turn on certain things. You can control emotions. You can control disease. You can and all of that. Now let me hasten to say something here this morning. I'll go on record as saying this. I do not believe that the virus or the vaccine of COVID is the mark of the beast. I think we get into conspiracy things and stuff like that. I'll go on record and I'll defend it that I do not believe that the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, is the mark of the beast. It may be unwise. It may be a bad idea. It may be a bad vaccine. It may be counterproductive. But I do not believe that it is the mark of the beast. Having said that, the technology and what evil men want to do with, as a result of all of this, will prepare and is preparing for the mark. Now, let's talk a little bit about gene therapy. Because what happened with the vaccine, and Time Magazine, I can show you the article. Time Magazine says that this is the first time now that vaccines are actually changing form. It used to be that a vaccine was developed by injecting inactive or dead or weakened virus into the body and then introducing that into the body, and the body then would kick in and create antibodies to defend against that disease. That's the way vaccines have worked. Vaccines now, this COVID-19 is turned a corner. You will read and you'll hear about DNA, RNA, mRNA. I talked to Brother Bob Webb about this earlier in the week. He helped me understand a little bit better. And I'm not going to go into all the details other than to say that we are now looking for vaccines that will manipulate and activate the DNA to produce antibodies. So it's sending messages to your DNA to stimulate antibodies. Say, what's the big deal? Well, it may not be a big deal. It might be a big deal. It's fairly new technology. But what is a big deal is when you take that a step farther and introduce what is called CRISPR, or gene therapy. How many of you have heard of CRISPR? A few of you. CRISPR is about taking the genetic code and altering the genetic code. It's not about sending a message to your genes to produce something. It is about actually taking, slicing something out of the human DNA and inserting something into it. What do you slice out? You slice out whatever you don't want. If you slice out, if you want to slice out, and it's done through enzymes, the introduction of enzymes that have genetic code sent to the DNA through RNA and mRNA to slice into the DNA, the human genome, and take out the undesirable trait and insert the desirable trait. This was done recently, within the last several years, in relation to HIV. You may not have followed this, but there was a Chinese scientist who stepped over the ethical bounds, which, are there any ethical bounds? Who enforces ethical bounds within the scientific community? And did this in relation to the HIV virus. So he said the gene that is susceptible to HIV, sliced it out, inserted, I don't know what he inserted for sure, but he sliced it out, and now these twins were born without having the gene that is susceptible to HIV. He is now doing time in prison. He's not doing time in prison in China because of what he did. He's doing time in prison because he falsified information. That's what his conviction was. So in the process, got the documentation. In the process, they are finding now with these little girls now that are about 2 years old that their IQ and their intelligence and their academic abilities have been boosted. Oh, so now we have the potential to not only eliminate bad stuff, but to insert good stuff, or what we might think is good. And it's coming. We're talking at this point about tampering with the code of life. CRISPR. Keep your ears open for CRISPR technology. I have an article here called "What is CRISPR Gene Editing?" I'll be happy to share it with you. There is a statement that I would like to read. More controversially, CRISPR could be used to create designer babies. How many of you have heard of designer babies? You want a baby with black hair instead of blonde hair? CRISPR technology is the way to get it done. With inheritable genetic changes, it talks here about the designer babies that I just referred to. I'm going to leave it at that. Now, what is on the horizon, and how does this relate to the end times? What is on the horizon, and if you listen, you will hear the term being used regularly now on called green passports. How many of you have heard of green passports? Green passports are the way of tracking whether or not people have antibodies from COVID-19 or have been vaccinated. And the way this will work is if you have been vaccinated or you have antibodies, first it'll start out with antibodies, and the goal is 100% vaccination. If you have been vaccinated or have antibodies, you will be given a code, a QR code, for your cell phone. On your cell phone, you will be able to enter into different venues. If you want to go to see a concert, you must have your QR code. That will let you in. They'll scan your code. Yep, you can come in. No, you can't come in. In New York City, this is a very, very hot button issue. They're planning to do it. Cuomo. Again, the pagans laying out for us exactly what they plan to do so that you will not be able to go and do certain things without the code. I was just informed today that the state of Hawaii is on track to do the same thing, that you will not be able to travel, unless things get derailed, and that can happen, to Hawaii without a green passport. What the goal is, not so much that you have the green passport, but that they can get your information and track where you are and what you do. It's about, folks, it's about control. It's about control, and it's about making sure that you are where you should be and where you shouldn't be at any given time. And it will be used to promote social good. You don't have to use your imagination, folks, to see how that you won't be able to go to the grocery store without a QR code. You won't be able to go and do your banking without a QR code. You won't be able to buy a car without a QR code. You won't be able to fly on an airplane without a QR code. You won't be able to do, and the squeeze will get tighter and tighter and tighter. Until finally, it is not just about whether or not you have the vaccine. It's whether or not you conform to the world system. Now again, I don't think the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Probably the green passport is not the mark of the beast, but it is preparing us for the mark of the beast, where control is the issue, where they will be required to bow down to the dragon and the beast. It'll be a requirement. Public shaming, we've seen that. I was talking to a pastor, Pastor Larry Yancey, the other day. He's pastor at Faith Church in Ontario, Canada, in Milverton area, Milbank area. And he said that they have a man who sits near their church every Sunday and reports them for having services. And one Sunday, he reported seven rural, these are not city churches, these are rural churches, reported them to the health department because they are not obeying the law, or his version of the law. So Pastor Larry, when he sees him there, he goes, Pastor Tony Gerber gets on the phone to one of the health department people who he knows. He said, you're going to get a call today. You're going to get a call. Just want you to know this is what we're doing, and we feel like we're within the law, and so on. And they kind of laugh it off with this nut. But the point is public shaming. And that's going to be the name of the game, followed by full-fledged prohibitions. And that's not all. The wave of the future that is coming soon is what is called medical tattoos. How many of you are familiar with medical tattoos? Not nearly enough of you. So we're going to make you familiar with it this morning. Medical tattoos, again, this is not wacko technology. It's being developed by MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the leading universities in America. It was an article by Karen Weintraub in the American Scientist. Now, I did a little study this morning. Is American Scientist reliable? Came through as, yes, it's very reliable. So check your sources. Ask, do a little research as to whether or not your source is QAnon or a nutcase, or is it substantiated, verifiable information. This is substantiated, verifiable information. Invisible ink could reveal whether kids have been vaccinated. Keeping track of vaccinations remains a major challenge in the developing world, and even in many developed countries. Paperwork gets lost. Can't you hear sing this sweet song about the health of the world? You know, we got to keep people healthy, and there's so many people that are disadvantaged, and so on. Parents forget whether their child is up to date. Now a group of Massachusetts Institute of Technology researchers have developed a novel way to address this problem, embedding the record directly into the skin. And they're not going to do it by microchips. They're doing it by microtechnology, medical tattoos. So let me tell you how this works. What I discovered this morning is there is a conspiracy theory out there that people are getting the microchip in their vaccine. I don't see anything reliable that's saying that. But what they are saying is that this technology is what they'll be using, not putting the microchip in you for the vaccination, although that could be coming, but it isn't yet. But what is coming is this medical tattoo. Along with the vaccine, a child would be injected with a bit of dye that is invisible to the naked eye, but easily seen with a special cell phone filter. Combined with an app that shines near infrared light onto the skin, the dye would be expected to last up to 5 years. Then you'd probably need a booster. According to tests on pig and rat skin and human skin in a dish. Now, it goes on to say the research conducted by MIT bioengineers Robert Langer and Anna Jack Lenick And their colleagues uses a patch of tiny needles called microneedles to provide an effective vaccination without a teeth-clenching jab. Microneedles are embedded in a Band-Aid-like device that is placed on the skin. A skilled nurse or technician is not required. And you can see a major blow-up here, or enlargement of the microneedles. Bunch of microneedles on this tattoo, place it on the skin, vaccinate the person, the child, and then be able to read the body's response to the vaccination and so on. The technology, it's there, it's here. It's not something that you have to imagine anymore, folks. It is real. Interestingly enough, the word for mark in Scripture, in Book of Revelation, means a scratch or etching, stamp or to engrave, to cut in or stamped on. It is derived from the word carax, which is a strong stake used in fortification or defense, a palisade. A palisade is a long, strong stake pointed at the top and set set close as a fence. It's like when you see pictures of the old forts on the frontier. They had palisades, straight pieces of wood with a pointed tip to keep you from going over the top. That's a palisade. That is the Greek word base for the word mark in the mark of the beast. It is a tattoo, a medical incision or stamp with needles can easily fall within this. Now I say, Brother Todd, you've stepped over into conspiracies. Maybe I have, but just do your homework. Read up what is mark. What does it mean? A mark. And you'll find what I just told you. I'm going to close this morning and save the one more aspect on the Middle East, because that could take a message in itself. What I'm saying this morning is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. No longer do we need to say the stage is being set. We can now say the stage is set. Never before in the history of the world have we had what we are looking at right now. Now, could Christ have come at those times? Yes, he could have. If the Father had said that's the time, then he would have been here already. But he hasn't said that yet. But he has told us in his word what to look for. Global reset, one world government, one world economic system, one world religious system. We haven't even talked about that this morning, and how the people are calling out for us to reinsert the Pope into our Christian faith. Just really strange stuff. We can see a great falling away. I was talking to a pastor, as actually our BMA moderator, just recently, who said that he is now being told by his own family members that he is a racist and they'll refuse to come to a family reunion because of things he's written in the past, which are not racist, but they're just proclaiming the Word of God. Today, if you proclaim the Word of God, you are a racist as far as the world is concerned. You are a bigot. You are a homophobe. You are an undesirable. And folks, if you think the Mennonite people are immune from this, think again, because they're coming after us too. I have documentation, different groups that are saying Mennonites, because of our anti-establishment mentality and because of patriarchy. Patriarchy is a belief in male leadership. Male leadership, first headship, because of our belief in headship, we are being targeted as oppressors and abusers. They're coming after us as well. Now, do I say that to frighten us? Well, if you need to get frightened to get right with God, then please be frightened. But if you are right with God, there's no need to be frightened. You just need to be aware that Jesus is coming. He's coming. One of these days, we're going to say that for the last time. And may it be soon. The only thing, brothers and sisters, that makes me pause to say, Lord, come quickly, come now, is a burden for those souls that are lost, that will be left behind when that event takes place. I want to close with just the ABCs of salvation. If you are not saved today and you don't have assurance in your heart that you are ready to meet the Lord, it's very simple. The gospel message is very simple. A, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge yourself as being outside of Jesus Christ. Acknowledge that you are lost and out of favor with God, and that your sin has separated you from Almighty God. And then trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Trusting in Jesus as the Son of God, that He died to pay the price for our sins, that He rose again to be Lord of all. A, acknowledge your sin. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that belief is surrender to Him. And C, confess Him as Lord of your life. And you need not be afraid. But if you have not done that, you ought to be scared to death. Because we're entering into a time. I'll just close with this. I just recently saw a video presentation from a former Clinton advisor who said this. If this Green New Deal, a green passport, is established as it is being around the world, and if it's accepted here in the United States, we will lose our freedoms and we will never get them back. Never. That's the pagans talking about the pagans. Now, some people will say, we got to fight this. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where we're told to fight it. We're told to get ready for the Lord to come. We're told to tell people about Jesus. We're told to give out, to fulfill the Great Commission. And then some people say, well, we'll just have to accept it. No, we don't have to accept it. We look to Jesus Christ as our great deliverer. He is not about to allow His people to be coerced into something that is contrary to His word. There will always be a remnant. So take heart. Take heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this has been a difficult message to preach this morning. We'd rather talk about the good things of God. We'd rather talk about revival and the wonderful things that are ahead for the child of God. We'd rather talk about heaven. We'd rather talk about anything but this. Lord, I pray that You will have established the truth. Don't let us fall for fear tactics, unnecessary fear tactics. Don't let us manipulate the truth. Don't let us conspire and buy into conspiracy things. But let us have wisdom to understand and discern the days and the times that we are living in. Let us hear and see and lift up our eyes, our head, for our redemption draws nigh. And that means our Redeemer is drawing nigh. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.